Hello and welcome to Wham Bam Tram. I'm your host James Ockenden, editor of Transit Jam, and I've also been working as a bike delivery rider for Food Panda for some months now, so I'm delighted to welcome one of the company's executives onto the show. He's not technically my boss, but he's certainly higher up the food chain. Can't wait to find out some of his plans for the company ahead. It's Woody Chan, head of sustainability with Food Panda. First, let's go to Martin Turner of the Hong Kong Cycling Alliance for a look at the news. Twitter's a funny place, Martin. Did you see the new US Transportation Secretary? He was actually out on a rideshare bike. Great to see. He got videoed. And bike Twitter went crazy, half of them applauding and the other half hurling abuse at him because apparently he had his bike saddle too low.
Yeah, it's typical. Poor old Pete Buttigieg. He's actually a really good guy. I mean, he's got a lot of big ideas, putting big money into active transportation. And it's the same old story. Some people want perfection. When the guy who's organising better facilities for, in this case, the US, but it could apply to Hong Kong, when he gets out there and actually does it on a bike, it's not the most important thing how he rides it. It's the fact that he's putting national funds where it's needed. So I give him a break.
Okay. So good job, Pete, and keep it up, we say, from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So I'm here with Woody Chan, who's CSR and Sustainability Manager at Food Panda. Now, Food Panda has been launched onto the Hong Kong scene with food delivery and actually is pioneering new forms of transport. They've recently been taking part in the government's e-mobility trials up in Chung Kwan O and Science Park, trialling e-scooters for food delivery. So, Woody, welcome to the studio. And perhaps you can start by telling us a little bit more about this e-mobility trial.
Yeah, sure. We were very happy to have participated in the trials, and largely they went smoothly for us. We had a few of our couriers participate in the trials, and the devices they used were electric scooters, the ones that you can pedal, you know, even without the electronic assist. And so that went rather well.
So what exactly were you looking for at the e-mobility trial?
Well, the main thing we're looking for is to see how electric scooters or related devices could A, help improve our sustainability performance in our fleet to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, and two, to also look at how this could improve operational efficiency.
And you were actually doing live customer deliveries, you know, within that trial environment, were you?
Yes, we were indeed.
Okay, so because as I took part in the Chung Kwan O trial, and I found obviously the cycle path is quite limited for the trial area.
Yes, we had to make sure that the pickup spots and the actual customers were in the TKO area. Obviously, this does not mean that every shop or every customer is going to be right beside the cycling lane. So some of our couriers using electric scooters had to get off their scooters and deliver those meals or pick up the meals by foot. But that we expect to be an obstacle, I guess, an operational difficulty in the trials and something that hopefully we can improve on later on.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what were the reactions from the couriers on using these?
They were largely happy with the actual design and the operational details of the e-scooters. They were happy with the speed, for example, and the speed limit, but they did have some concerns regarding, for example, the bags which had to be put on the e-scooter handles and how that could impact the control of the electric scooter. So that is something that we'll be looking into as well.
Would you say the trial was a success? Would you be looking to push this forward now?
Yes, largely we definitely think it was a success. The feedback generally from the couriers so far have been generally positive. But you know, in order to take this forward, we do hope that the government can amend the legislation to allow, you know, these electric mobility devices to be used more widely and legally.
Yeah, well, that's obviously the question. What stage do you think we're at with that? They've finished the trial. How long do you think it will be before we might see some legislation on the books?
Well, I do not have, you know, the insider knowledge on you know the government processes, but For us, you know, something in the timeline of, you know, say 2022, end of 2022 would work. Yeah. For us, I would say.
Would this be something that you'd expect couriers to buy their own machine and then use it if they were legal, or do you plan to sort of buy a fleet yourself and then, you know, lease them to couriers like that?
I mean, at the moment, we are open to everything. We are keeping all our options open. Our current business model does not include us buying a fleet of vehicles for our couriers, but for electric mobility devices, we are not excluding any option. But one of the leading options at the moment is to subsidize such devices for our couriers to use in both, you know, in their daily lives, but also for deliveries.
Now, we're talking about sustainability. Obviously, there's one machine which is one of the most sustainable forms of transport in the world, which is the bicycle. So, well, how does the bicycle fit in with this push into sort of e-mobility?
Normally, we already in our current recruitment already actively encourage and invite our couriers to sign up as cyclists to use bicycles in their deliveries. But for this electric mobility device trial, we have also looked into the idea of, you know, bicycles. Are electric scooters better than bicycles? And it seems that the idea of convenience prevails. People don't want to be biking around and using their energy. That the idea of the electronic assistance is quite essential to delivery. So we are taking that into account as well. And, you know, we're not wedded completely to the idea of electric scooters, even though we trialed those devices in this trial. You know, electronic bikes is also on the table as well.
In terms of sustainability, then we've got the sort of petrol scooters, you've got bicycles, you've got walkers. What do you think is the sort of most sustainable mix of those machines?
Yes, I think you know, it's motorcycles are going to continue to exist, even though electric mobility devices become more mainstream. I can't give you an exact percentage of the shares between e-scooters, you know, e-bikes, walkers and motorcyclists, but we would like to see a larger share of our couriers using these electric devices. Of course, you know, some of you might know that or have already seen on the streets that some couriers could already be using these devices on the road, but until such transport modes are legalized, we cannot be actively encouraging them.
What about electric, they're also called e-scooters, which is confusing, but like electric mopeds or electric motorcycles, because I understand those are legal in Hong Kong.
Yeah, we this is something that we have looked into as well with a couple of suppliers. But our concern there is A, the price, and B, the charging infrastructure we also feel is not so advanced in Hong Kong to be able to use them widely.
Right. I know I was speaking with the Environment Bureau, and they have said they would happily subsidize any firm that wanted to buy these electric motorbikes, as it were. So perhaps that takes care of the price.
Yeah, and you know, the price is, you know, something that we have looked into. But one thing that I would also like to point out is in our previous engagements, we also felt the licensing procedure was also not quite mature enough for us to be considering for our fleet, we would say, yes.
In what sense? The electric motorbike you're talking about?
For the electric motorbike, yeah. Yes. You know, there were some complications that the supplier mentioned to us, which we felt were not quite something that we want to, you know, solve yet.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, recall some of the details of that conversation.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But it was something to do with the licensing procedures.
Okay, interesting. And in terms of the charging network that you brought up, how did the e-scooters perform during the trials in terms of charging or range?
There were no concerns raised up in terms of the charging duration or the range. Also, partly because we had a charging station at the trial.
Yeah.
But in terms of the ease of access, the idea that you can literally plug these e-scooters into a socket was very convenient to our riders.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but restaurants are actually very stingy about letting delivery riders use their plug sockets. I found Often won't even let me use their sockets to charge a phone, so I'm not sure they'll let people come in and charge up their electric scooters.
Yeah, so with you know, further down the line, this becomes more mainstream, then we will have to think of areas or potentially our dark stores, which could also double as, you know, charging points for our e-scooter couriers. But, you know, this is still a pipe dream for now, I would say so.
Yeah, interesting. So the Panda Mart could actually be a good place to charge up.
Just a brainwave for now.
Yeah, okay, that's a nice idea. Okay, I like that. I support that as a courier. So, but in terms of range, obviously you had the charging station at the trials, but did you get a sense of how many deliveries an e-scooter could do?
We're still combing through the data, so we don't have the exact number there yet.
Okay, let's move on to other sustainability. I mean, so you're head of sustainability in CSR, which obviously encompasses a lot more than transport. I mean, what other initiatives is Foodpanda undergoing at the moment?
The big one really is plastics. We understand that the plastics footprint of food delivery companies can be quite large.
Well, on the plastics, as a courier, I don't see any effort by restaurants to really change their ways. Even the sort of trendier restaurants, which probably have some sort of CSR presence on their website, are still just sticking everything into polystyrene and then into a bag.
Yes, unfortunately, from what we've seen in our vendor engagements, our restaurant partner engagements, polypropylene, you know, the PP, you know, number 5 plastic boxes are simply, you know, very practical and good to use in deliveries. It can handle a lot of heat. It doesn't spill very easily. It's very difficult for them to replace. Our target at the moment for sustainable packaging is to reach 5% of our vendors in the first year. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of the pilot stage.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get more on board later on. But, you know, government support on this front would also be, you know, hugely appreciated.
Right. Yeah. What sort of government support are you looking for?
I mean, for example, with the Waste Blueprint 2035, you know, they said they would look to regulate single-use tableware by 2025. Any support from them to you know, get restaurants to use less plastic, to, for example, ban polystyrene, would help us as well in telling our vendors to become greener.
Now, what we're seeing in a lot of other cities is these robots, well, especially in the US, robots taking to the streets and doing deliveries. Is that something we can expect in Hong Kong?
Yeah, that's certainly a cutting-edge idea, which some of you might have seen, is that in Singapore, we are trying to, you know, kind of merge that innovation with the idea of sustainability through what they've called the Panda Fly. It's a drone pilot where they join hands with an engineering company to deliver an order using drones from the Marina South Pier all the way across 3 kilometers off the pier in just 10 minutes.
Where did it go to a boat?
It went to a boat.
To a boat. Okay, so it's flying over the water.
Yes,
delivering to boats.
Correct.
That's very cool. It's very safe, I imagine, because if it crashes, there's no, there's only water underneath.
Well, unless you're a fisherman who's just trying to you know, so.
Right. But is that feasible for the city as well?
For
city delivery?
Yeah, I think in Hong Kong and in Singapore, these are very dense areas with high-rise buildings, so It's going to be very difficult to make sure that legislations and the safety concerns are aligned on that to kind of allow these kind of transports. But, you know, again, it's a pipe dream, but the idea of it is hugely attractive, I would say.
So 3 kilometers, that's pretty far. I mean, you could get out. Could you get to almost a Lama Island, I guess? Not quite.
Not quite. I think.
No, but you know, you're on the way, definitely.
Yeah, on the way.
You could get across the harbour.
Let's just charge it a little bit more, and I'm sure we'll get there. Yeah.
I can see a big market for that. You know, when the ships come in, the container ships, they don't usually dock. They're unloaded out at sea. I can see a big market for drone deliveries there.
Well, we're not sure whether it got back to the pier.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, that's very exciting. Yeah. So, okay, Woody, thanks very much for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next week, we're off to London, remotely anyway. We'll be meeting Peter Walker, the author of a fabulous new book called The Miracle Pill, which outlines the dangers of what Peter calls a pandemic of inactivity, and how activity has been edited out of our lives. That's next week on Wham Bam Tram, but now it's time for our drama, Alphard Wars. This story is purely fictional. Certain long-standing institutions, agencies and public offices are mentioned, but the characters involved are wholly imaginary. Any similarity with any characters living or dead is purely a coincidence. Veda and Lim are trying to help Number One, Lim's best friend and the only one who might be able to solve the body swap mystery. At a secretive cave location, Lady Lim is attempting to infiltrate the flying flies who captured him.
This is CSP Veda. I need to interrogate your prisoner, Number One.
Are you ready for the psychological test?
Of course, Phi Dealer. I have a crime to solve.
What was the name of your first pet?
Did you get that, Veda? First pet?
First proper pet, like a dog. Or like a school goldfish or hamster.
I'm the one asking the questions here.
Veda?
Fluffy.
Now, what was your mother's maiden name?
Veda, get in.
Frank, what are you doing here? Hey, go away, I'm busy.
Sorry, madam. Orders. I am to take you to Government House right now.
It can wait 20 minutes.
Madam, I have orders to bring you in, dead or alive.
No! I need to... Frank, you're hurting me! Let go! Jeez!
Hello? She's gone. I bet it was trousers. Fluffy trousers.
And then, dear CE, if promoted, I would request an extra $300 million for our surveillance network.
Oh, the so-called smart lamppost.
No, madam. The smart lamppost were a decoy. We have a network of mainland agents dressed like hipsters, standing on every street corner filming in high-def 4K.
Oh, but why would you need more money? Surely that's very cheap.
The hipster uniform keeps changing, Chief Executive. Overnight. From linen and blue denim with a Leica to this sort of baggy pant nappy trousers with man bags to I don't know what. And we can't fire a supplier. I don't know where they're getting this stuff from, but it's sure expensive.
Okay, well, sounds like you'll be perfect for the job, CSPU. We will speak later and hope Executive Council will rubber stamp your approval. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chief Executive. You made the right choice. CSP Veda was in the wind. We just brought her in to Government House to fire her. What a sadness when a promising officer goes mad.
Yes, a pity. Now, if you will excuse me, I have an appointment. Sunshine!
Ready for your walk, madam? Let's get you into these running shoes.
Okay.
Okay, I will see you up at the school in 30 minutes. Maybe 40 if the traffic is bad.
Toodly-doo. Now, where's this pedestrian entrance? Sounds so ghastly. So pedestrian. Oh, ha! Must tell the speechwriters that one. Now, here I am. This must be Garden Road. No, Albert Road. Upper or lower? There's no signpost. There's no street name. It's all just bridges where... Well, the school is uphill. So I'll need to go up. How do I... Where am I? There's no signs. Which way is up? Oh, this was a mistake. Where...
Oh, ma'am, I've got you.
Oh. Ah. You saved my life.
Ma'am, what an unexpected honor.
Oh, hello, CSP...
Veda. Ma'am, I've just left EXCO. They kidnapped me, bundled me here, fired me,
took my badge and my gun without a word after 20 years service.
Fired you? You saved my life from that van.
That van was a good 20 centimeters away. You'd have been fine.
What a shock. What a brave woman you are.
Oh no, ma'am, it was really nothing.
Oh, I was walking up to Borrowed Road. Would you like to join me?
Oh yes, ma'am. Where are you going?
Opening a school, shaping young minds.
Good for you for walking, ma'am. The last walking governor we had was Patton. Before him, obviously Wilson. Before him, obviously MacLehose.
Patton, Wilson, MacLehose. Old world lazy governing. But which way do we go? It's also confusing.
No, the subways, Chief Executive, and the footbridges is the only way to get around the city without a car. Google is clueless on pedestrian paths.
I do know how to use an Oyster, you know. That was terribly misleading of the media.
Of course you do, madam. By the way, you have a $500 bill stuck to your...
Oh, gosh, they get everywhere, those things.
So then, we just nip down this subway and voila, the other side of the road.
Well, I say one thing. We need someone like you in charge. Someone brave, someone who actually knows how to get around the city. I had no idea it was so monstrous.
Very kind, ma'am. The ex-co don't see it that way, la.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll have a word. I'm the CE. I can do whatever I want. I have a feeling you are about to become my new police chief. Captain Fader.